On the line, I have Professor Brian Lawler, consultant, psychiatrist and chair of Dementia Understand Together campaign. Good morning, Professor Lawler. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thank you.
Now, National Brain Awareness Week runs between the 5th and the 11th of March, and the Understand Together campaign is a part of this. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Well, the Understand Together campaign, that's part of the National Awareness Campaign to raise awareness about dementia. There's a national awareness strategy that's been ongoing for the last 2 years, and what we're trying to do is increase knowledge and awareness about what dementia is, what it isn't, and what people can do to help. So, as I said, we're in our third year now, and we've had a campaign going of TV and radio ads and as I say, trying to spread a message of hope around dementia, emphasising how important it is for people to stay engaged and socially active and to maintain as high a quality of life as possible.
I note that from some of your research, you say that one in every two or every second person knows someone who has had dementia or is going through it. Now, I'm one of those people. Both my mother and my grandmother suffered through dementia. My mother had vascular dementia and my grandmother had Alzheimer's. And I would have initially thought they were all the one thing, but reading down through your seven myths, I see I'm totally wrong.
Well, yes, you raise a very, very good point. Many people misconstrue or mix up what is dementia and what is Alzheimer's disease or vascular dementia. So dementia is a generic term, an umbrella term that describes a number of different brain conditions are diseases of the brain. And in dementia, a person usually has problems with memory or orientation, recall, wayfinding, sometimes thinking ahead, judgment. And all of this interferes with the day-to-day functioning. And this is what we call dementia. And it's caused by many different diseases of the brain. One of these diseases is Alzheimer's disease. Another disease that can cause dementia is blood vessel changes or blood vessel damage or vascular dementia. So Alzheimer's disease would be the commonest cause of dementia, and vascular disease would be the second and third most common cause of dementia.
And I also note, and I think this is a very frightening statistic in a way, 11 people every day develop dementia in Ireland. That's kind of 4,000 a year. That's a very high number, isn't it?
It's a high number, and the main reason for this is because the population is graying, people are living longer, and the biggest risk factor for dementia is increasing age. So the numbers of people with dementia in young age groups, people in their 40s or 50s, would be low. But then as you increase in age, there's an increased risk of developing dementia, so that it's very common in people in their 80s and 90s. So yes, it's common, and yes, it's becoming more common, primarily because people are living longer. And if you live longer and more into the age of risk, then you are more likely to develop a dementia.
And how can we tell dementia is coming on, and maybe how can we reduce our risks?
So these are very good questions. Many times people will have memory complaints and they'll be concerned that they could be developing a dementia. And in fact, this may not be the case. So conditions like an underactive thyroid or vitamin deficiency, stress, anxiety, drinking too much, depression, medications, particularly in combinations of medications, all of these can cause memory complaints, particularly as people get older. So just because you have a memory complaint, it doesn't necessarily mean you have dementia. Also, as people get older, just like you don't run as fast or walk as fast, your brain doesn't process information as quickly. So sometimes people will have concentration or what we call attentional problems. Again, forgetting where they put things, forget what they went up the stairs to get. And again, sometimes people can misconstrue those concentration or attention problems as developing dementia. So memory complaints per se doesn't necessarily mean that you're developing a dementia. But if you have short-term memory problems that are persistent and get worse over time and interfere with your day-to-day functioning, then there could be concern that this could be evolving into something like a dementia, and that's really when you need to get an assessment, first of all, by your GP. So it's usually a problem that's getting worse over time and interferes with day-to-day functioning. That's the critical difference between changes in your memory or concentration that occur with age and sometimes the effects of stress, anxiety, depression, medications, as I've mentioned.
Well, I think there's also another factor in there. It's called being a Sullivan. My whole family have very bad short-term memories. I can remember everything that happened years ago, but ask me where I put down that cup, I haven't an idea.
Well, you see, there's a normal distribution, you know, in terms of memory function. And some people are born and have very excellent memories, and some people haven't such good memories, and most people are in the middle. But you're right. I mean, there is some truth in what you say, that some people, you know, may never have had good concentration or powers of focus, and or may not have had good powers of recall. But usually, even in that situation, that type of memory issue or characteristic wouldn't get them into trouble from the point of view of functioning from a day-to-day, on a day-to-day basis. But the other issue you raised about it, is there anything we can do about reducing risk of developing dementia? And when we were involved in Understand Together, what we did at the very beginning was we surveyed people and we tried to find out how much they knew about risk factor reduction and what were the risks of developing dementia. And unfortunately, people in Ireland knew very little about this. And it's very, very important, because this is perhaps one of the ways forward. And it's a reason for hope in terms of maybe being able to decrease the numbers of people in the population with dementia, because we know a lot now about risk factors for developing dementia like Alzheimer's disease or vascular dementia, and conditions, particularly in midlife, like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high sugar levels due to diabetes, low levels of exercise, depression, even loneliness, poor hearing, for example, in midlife. We now know that these are all risk factors for the development of dementia, like Alzheimer's disease. And the potential is that if we address these risk factors early on, we may be able to reduce on a population level the risk of getting dementia. And this is what governments now and campaigns like Understand Together are trying to promote, trying to help people and understand that actually there may be something they can do about the risk of developing dementia later in life by addressing these modifiable risk factors early on.
I've read down through the seven myths, as they say, of dementia, and one that stuck out to me was that people with dementia can't understand what's going on around them. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, obviously, that's a myth, and particularly at the early and even middle stage of the illness of dementia, people often can understand what's going on. And sometimes with dementia, there can be some language difficulties, particularly they can't express themselves as well as they used to. Sometimes they have difficulty finding words. And they may be quiet, and perhaps they might be a little bit embarrassed. They don't want to show themselves up, so they may not communicate, but they may very well understand everything that's going on. So I think it's always important to assume that the person with dementia really does have a handle, an understanding of what's going on, to communicate directly to that person, not to communicate to other family members just because you think they don't know what's going on. Because it's been my experience, and I think it's most people's experience, that the person with dementia does have a much better understanding of what's going on than perhaps we think. And I think we must recognize that and involve the person in the conversations, because they have a natural tendency. You know, if you're having a memory problem and if you're having problems with expression of language, your natural tendency is to try and avoid and withdraw. And with this campaign, what we're trying to do is to stop that withdrawal, both of the individual, the person, but also of the general public interacting with them. We want the person who has the problem to continue to be engaged, but we also want society and the general public to also engage, because this type of social engagement and stimulation is good for the person with dementia. It's good for their brain health, and we want to emphasize this. And I want to emphasize that there's lots of things that people with dementia can still do. They can still participate in activities, conversations, and still enjoy life to a very significant degree.
I know my mother. God rest her. When she developed dementia, one of the first things that occurred was that with speech, and just as you said, she couldn't find words at times, or she would actually say the wrong word in a sentence.
Yes.
And it was quite frustrating for her, but it was also, as you can imagine, for the family, until we understood that was part of the process. But she had, I have to say, my father, fair play to him, she had a very happy life while she was suffering through it, right up till close to the end, when it got, I have to say, it did get a bit messy towards the end. Everything started to break down on her, God bless her. But something.
But I guess, you know, for any illness, for any chronic illness, I mean, it is very difficult at the end. And you're talking about different illness, heart failure, heart disease, cancer, and dementia. I mean, it is very difficult at the end. But just as you say, described with your own mother, I mean, you know, she lived through the illness rather than suffer. She had a good quality of life. She enjoyed it, and with the support of her family and inputs like that. You know, you're telling a very positive story, and I think it's a positive message. And that's one of the things that we do really want to get across to the general public, because I think sometimes they hear just the tragedy narrative and all the bad news all the time. But it's not always bad news. I mean, there are reasons for hope, and I think we need to emphasize these positive messages and the pathways that people can take to try and maintain their quality of life with the support of the family and also with the support of society.
Well, yes, indeed, because my parents used to go out for walks. Now, it was a bit more curtailed because she had a habit of maybe losing her balance a bit, but they still got out and they went for a couple of drinks and things like that. So they still had a great old life. But one of the things I was going to ask you, and it's in one of these myths again, and it's that it's only older people that develop dementia.
Yes, well, this is a very important myth, and 1 in 10 people can get dementia under the age of 65, and we call this young onset dementia. And so it's not as common as dementia in older people, but it does happen, and it's very important to recognize it. Sometimes it can take a long time for the penny to drop for the individuals themselves, because they often think it's depression or anxiety or stress at work, and sometimes doctors also, because they don't necessarily expect it that to occur commonly in this age group. It does occur, you know, again, Alzheimer's disease would be one of the more common causes of this young onset dementia, and it's important to be aware of that and recognize that. And it is a particularly difficult condition in younger people, because they're often working, they have young families, and there are significant challenges dealing with dementia in this age group.
The one important thing I think to say here, and maybe you can tell us a bit about it, is if you do get a diagnosis of dementia, all is not lost. There are things you can do.
Very much so. I mean, I think that oftentimes getting a diagnosis of dementia helps in terms of explaining what has been going on. There's an explanation for the symptoms, the behavior, the experience that the individual is having, but also the family can understand what's going on. You mentioned yourself understanding that the language difficulty that your mother has experienced as part of dementia, that helps you understand, appreciate, and perhaps find ways around it. So that understanding and knowledge is important, and awareness for both the person and the family. So the diagnosis can help in that regard. And also, it can, you know, there are often decisions have to be made around the time of the diagnosis, and the person has to, you know, obviously we try to encourage people to stay at work if possible. But these are tough decisions that have to be made and discussed in great depth by the family, but also with the doctor. But in terms of you know, what you can do, I think it's really important to try and you know, when a person comes in to get a diagnosis, they're not any, you know, they're the same person that walked in the door. You know, when they have a diagnosis, the diagnosis shouldn't change the landscape for them. So they should continue to live as they were living before they got the diagnosis, and to optimize their quality of life. So what we would try to focus on is trying to keep as much independence as possible, and also focus on what we call positive brain health behaviors. So things like exercise, routine, making sure that they are stimulated by meeting and interacting with people as much as possible, that they challenge themselves to do new things, you know, if at all possible, because that's good for their brain health, that they keep a good diet. And if there are any other factors that need to be addressed, like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, that they should be addressed. And, you know, if they're tended to drink too much, that they would cut back in that. If they were smoking, because this is another risk factor, for, you know, that you were trying to cut back on smoking. So we still advocate that they try and address any modifiable risk factor, because it just might have an impact. We don't know for sure, but we think it's probably good advice. But generally speaking, it's about, you know, being positive and identifying avenues and pathways that they can continue to go down to keep themselves physically, mentally, socially, and cognitively active. Clearly, if with the diagnosis of dementia due to Alzheimer's disease, that there would be some medications that may help stabilize for a period of time as well. So I think it's important we tell people to not to look too far ahead, not to look too far back, but to stay as much as they can in the present and focus on the present and the here and now, and to optimize, you know, the quality of life right now.
I have watched some of the videos that are attached to the Understand to Together campaign, and have to say I thought they were very positive. They showed people who are going through it, have at the early stages, and are still living their life. They're getting out there, and as one in one of the videos, as one man said, he seems to know more people now than he did before he got the diagnosis.
That's right, and he was the one. I mean, he's open about the diagnosis and talking about it. And I think that, you know, a lot of people naturally tend to say, you know, hide it, but I think in that story, in that narrative, I think the important part is he was happy enough for people to know, and as I said, that actually opened the gate and doors for other people to communicate with him. They, instead of them turning to the wall, they actually started talking to him, so, and acknowledging him. And obviously, that's good for his brain health. I mean, I think that, and that's a real story. It's not
a marketing ploy.
Yeah. No. This is a real story about of a person's life and experience, and how that's working for him and for his wife and family.
And I think, like with most diseases, being open about it and being, you know, being willing to share it, it makes you feel better and helps for better outcomes.
Well, I agree by and large, but you know, everybody's different, and you know, you can't say that one size fits all. But I think that it is a good thing to be open and honest and to communicate, and it brings people in. But there will be some people who, you know, because of their personality and the way they are, they may prefer to keep a diagnosis private, and that's their choice. But what we would be encouraging as much openness as possible, because I think once you open up, people then feel comfortable coming and opening up to you and talking to you. Sometimes if you don't communicate that you have a problem, but other people know you have a problem, they tend to wander off and don't link in with you. So I think that's one of the main reasons why we would encourage openness, as in that video and as you saw in that TV ad, which really works for them. But it is a personal decision at the end of the day, but it's something that we would encourage.
And as I noted at the start of the interview, we've got to remember there's 4,000 people every year, that's 11 people every day, being diagnosed with dementia in Ireland. So it's out there, it's part of our society. Professor Lawler, maybe you could tell our listeners where they can get some more information if they need it on dementia.
So of course, thank you very much. I mean, the best resource really is the Understand Together website, www.understandtogether.ie. And it provides a rich resource of information. I think you'll find anything you want to know there for yourself if you happen to have dementia, or if you're a family member, and lots of good advice, lots of signposting, lots of contact numbers. So I would just advise, go to the website and see if it supplies what you need. I expect it will. I think it's a very good website, and we've got some very good feedback during the campaign on the website, both from the lay public and also from healthcare professionals.
Professor,
so I think that's probably the best resource to go to.
Professor Lawler, thank you very much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to us this morning.
You're more than welcome. Best of luck to you and to your listeners. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.